Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the talk show host that can't tell time. It's good to have you back, folks. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure as always. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and I don't know what we'd do without her. Joan, welcome back.
Do you need a little extra help for me today, Jim?
Yeah.
You know, I could help you with the clock and, you know, other stuff, too.
How about picking out my music? Would you like to pick out
Oh, I would love to do that. Oh,
well,
no,
Joan?
You just were, that was Van Halen.
Yeah,
Who I am going to see in November.
Really?
And I'm with David Lee Roth. I'm very excited.
Yeah,
I know
they're...
your listeners are just on the edge of their seats wanting to know that I'm going to see Van Halen.
And but I'm going to list what they're waiting on, though, Joan, is for you to say that you bought two extra tickets for me and my bride.
Hello, I'm losing the connection. Hello,
exactly.
Hello?
They know you, Joan. They weren't expecting
any kind of kindness
out of you. That's exactly right.
Hey, but the big news is that Eddie Van Halen's son Wolfgang will be performing with them. Will be part of the group. I think that's pretty interesting.
But I understand that you know he's the restraining order that he had from his dad has been lifted now. There was some issue about, you know, trying to kill his dad for naming him Wolfgang, I think, or something like that.
I think his mom did that.
but Joan, we're in the dog days of August, and we've only got three or four more days before we're back in danger when Congress is back
in session. Exactly, exactly. Well, we can't get too far away from them in any case, since with scandals swirling around here.
Holy mackerel!
It's been quite an amazing month.
Has Larry Craig been, you know, I don't know if he's guilty or not. I don't think any of the Republicans know if he's guilty or not. But he's received the mark of Foley, hasn't he?
Well, whether he's guilty or exercised spectacularly, galactically bad judgment, he's in a lot of trouble. And the stunning thing to me is that the Republican, not the Democrat, the Republican leadership in the Senate immediately came forward to say certain things, such as we're starting an ethics committee investigation and we want him to resign his committee assignments. And I think the reason is that he pled guilty. You know, whether he was stupid about pleading guilty or whether he really was guilty, if you're not guilty, it's really not smart to plead guilty and then to hide it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, did you hear my comment about the Mark of Foley?
Yes, you know,
they're not going to let the Foley thing fester. They're not going to let the Craig thing fester like they did the Foley thing.
And by the Foley thing, Congressman Mark Foley, and it was dangerously close to election time when this happened last year. Congressman Mark Foley was accused and I guess admitted to a lot of misconduct
and resigned
and has resigned his seat in Congress, so he's gone. But
just before the election, and there's no question that one situation and all the things that came out about that, I'm convinced that was a significant contributor to the changing of Congress.
I think you're right. I think it was.
It wasn't the biggie. The war was the biggie.
But there was a lot of things that contributed, and that was one. You know, that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back in certain districts. Maybe
that's exactly right. Yeah. To quote Charles Krauthammer, it cast a pall over the Republicans' election process.
It really did. So I just as a journalist here, I'm sitting here just stunned and amazed at what's going on in Washington right now.
My friend Rich Galen, who writes on political issues and who's a political operative, and writes for has his own cyber column, Mullings.com. He said this week that the Craig issue wouldn't hurt the Republicans because he's from a red state. There's no redder state in America than Idaho. And it's not like that they're in danger of losing that seat to the Democrats.
Right.
And because of the way it's being handled, even though I don't think he was pleased with the way it was handled, he was just saying that ultimately this will wind up being a non-issue for the Republicans.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Now, if this was 2008, it might be different.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of time to deal with it and move beyond it.
Fast forward 1 year, and it would be a problem.
Yeah, it would be exactly Foley all over again. Because
but that's
the
reason why the Republicans are throwing him over the rail.
Yes, and see, he gave them the ability to do that by the hidden guilty plea. Had he been fighting these charges and saying I am innocent, that would be one thing. But the
if he had said, if you read what apparently he did, or is alleged to have done. There was nothing done except somebody played footsie or something, I guess, is what happened.
Yeah,
and
but I generally don't play footsie when I'm in the bathroom.
I don't either. I don't take wide stances when I'm in the bathroom, in public toilets especially. But the thing is, my point is, had he said from the beginning, look, I'm a senator, I'm not guilty, this is not something I do,
I wouldn't even say I'm a senator, I would just say I'm
well,
not
he
guilty,
obviously,
this
he
is a
obviously,
misunderstanding.
He obviously would have had to have identified himself. That's what I meant. And I didn't mean that he would say,
well, I guess the problem was the way, I don't know if you heard this, he handed the officer his business card and was alleged to have said, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
So
anyway, it's the only, and folks, I don't like talking about tawdry type things like this, but it is a political issue. And it is interesting. I think the most interesting thing about this whole thing, Joan, is the fact that the way the Republican leadership has come out on this thing. And so I think the lesson for all other Republicans is that, you know, if you give the party any reason to be unhappy with you, you may be on your own.
It's true. It's true.
So it's an interesting thing. And you know, Joan, I like what two and a half years ago on this show, I was asking Steve Forbes about what he thought was going to be, you know, the determining factor in the election. And he quoted another Chamberlain, I think, Prime Minister Chamberlain in England. He said one of his young men, aides, asked him the same question, and his answer was, events, my dear boy, events.
Yeah, exactly.
So all the electoral, you know, process that we're going to have over the next 16 months, all the words, all the debates, you know, all the money that's raised, it could actually come down to one or two events.
It's that we don't know about yet, that haven't occurred yet.
That there's no way to know about.
Right.
Rampant democracy and peace could break out in Iraq, you know, 9 months from now and change everything. Or the other way. It could go the other way and Iran could invade or something. Stand by, quick break, 20 after. We're going to come back and talk about regulations that are in your future, potentially, as a result of what the government's up to. And we'll do that with our good friend Joan Pride right after these messages, 20 after. I promise, 20 after. Stay with me.
Trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com and also askjim.biz. So you'll have a choice. Actually, not really a choice. You really need to know about both of those, because the first site is where you can go to find a replay of the show, the archives of all the shows that I've done all the way back to 99. We've been archiving that long. And thousands of those, and laid out in categories for you. You can find it by topic, by category, by brain trust, by date, however you like. And also, don't forget, the archives are available in a podcast form. You can, in addition to streaming and just listening, you can actually download them, and we'll let you do that. So check that out when you get a chance. And also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email. Our blog is there. We update that every weekday. Thousands of articles, hundreds of Brain Trust members, and of course, askjim.biz is our knowledge base where we have answers to your questions. All you got to do is go there and type your little questions in, and wherever you feel pain, wherever you feel frustration, whatever you need to know, check it out, and we'll do our best to give you some answers. And of course, both of our sites have no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us. Joan Pride is our guest, and we're talking about what's going on in the most recent Kiplinger letter. Joan, Kiplinger says, expect a rush of new federal regulations. Now, what's that mean?
Well, as you know, the Bush administration is winding down, has a little over a year left to go, and if federal agencies have things they want to get done, they need to get them done soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, but what are some of those things? I mean, we got, you know, and one thing you point out here, businesses are already paying a lot of money to comply with regulations.
That's right.
And so when you say what you just said, that kind of makes me cringe. That if organizations want to get regulations, are you talking about the bureaus themselves, the agencies themselves, or are you talking about businesses?
Am I talking about the bureaus?
When you say if you're going to get something done, they better get it done.
Oh, the agencies themselves.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant, and that's what.
Yes, but you know what is all relative, Jim. We do say that they're not going to be as costly as they might be if Democrats end up in the White House.
Well, no, that's and I believe that.
So pick your poison.
Exactly. No, good point. Well, here's a stat though that you have in your letter this week that I want to expand on a little bit. Regulations cost, according to Kiplinger, $5,400 per employee per year on average. But Joan, for my audience, that number is misleading.
How so?
Well, that's because that's averages of all businesses.
Oh, I see. Right.
Big businesses pay about $2,000 less than that per employee per year.
Yeah.
And small businesses pay about $2,000 more than that per employee per year.
Yeah.
See, I agree with your number. I agree with your math. But you have to break that down more. To break it down more accurately, big businesses pay something over $3,000 per employee per year, and small businesses pay something over $7,000 per employee per year. And Joan, that number is going up every year. And that's the reason I said, when you talk to me about, you know, getting your regs in before the new regulation, before the new administration, it makes me cringe.
I understand. Cringe away.
And so, but let's talk about some of those. There are a few that you mentioned here, and one of them is on illegal workers. What's that all about?
Yeah, and this is one that concerns me because it says a crackdown beginning later this year on employers suspected of ignoring evidence that some of their workers are illegal. Now, I'm not sure if that refers to the item we talked about a week or two ago,
right.
But if it does, that really concerns me for your listeners.
Because?
These regulations that the Department of Homeland Security has promulgated say that you need to verify your workers. If you get what they call a no-match letter from the Social Security Administration, meaning that you have a number of workers where that they don't match up with the records of the administration, then you've got 90 days to figure it out or fire the worker. That's pretty harsh, I think.
Well, and Joan, exactly, and we don't always know how to behave, how to handle all that. And so, Joan, the real cost for small businesses to comply with regulation is over $7,000 per employee per year in dollars of compliance and thousands of hours of worry.
And that's, you can't put a price tag on that.
That's exactly right. As the commercial says, that's priceless. And,
right.
And, you know,
right.
If
but
you
not
give,
in a good way.
If exactly. If you give small business owners all that worry back, you know, they can be more creative and can create more jobs and do more things. Joan, one of the things that you guys point out is, and I thought it's appropriate to mention this today, is that there will be new mining safety standards.
That's right.
Below there. But I'd like, the reason I wanted to point that out is I saw something recently that indicated, I think I may have found this in the journal, the Wall Street Journal, that in China, which is, by the way, China is largely powered by coal. They have 14 mining deaths every day in China.
Oh, my goodness.
Every day in China.
Every day?
Yes.
Gee,
I think we lost 27 miners in 2006, you know, one at a time.
And
largely.
I think for us, that's a lot.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Well,
27, and we're passing new laws on and new regulations on mine safety.
Right.
But apparently in China, 14 a day. They have virtually no safety programs, no oxygen in many of those mines, no ability to get those guys out of there. Quick break. We got more to come. We're going to talk about a lot more things with Joan Pride right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Oh, oh, oh. And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, as you know. And Joan, we're talking about, I think we're through with regulations pretty much. Do you have anything you want to add on page two? We're talking about the upside of regulations. Do you know about the less generous benefits to companies being able to offer less generous benefits to retirees? Do you know about that?
Well, in terms of, the EEOC, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, what's interesting is a while back, the EEOC was trying, well, this actually was born from a court case. The issue is whether an employer is allowed to offer a less generous benefit to you. Let's say you retire early, mm-hmm. and they want to give you health insurance between that, you know, in that gap period between 55 and 65. Well, when you hit 65, you're not going to need all those benefits. So the employer will reduce those benefits.
Because you'll have Medicare.
Once you qualify for Medicare, yeah. Once you start on Medicare. Well, there was a court case several years ago, I forget the name of it, but it was a big court case that said you can't do that. So then the EEOC came out and said, because the court was saying that's age discriminatory, but the EEOC right. came out and said, wait, it really isn't.
Yeah.
And if you do this, you know, if that court case was allowed to stand, what would have happened was, that it, rather than beefing up benefits for age 65 retirees, a lot of employers who couldn't afford to do that would have just said, okay, if you want us to level the playing field, we will, but we'll do it in such a way that the early retirees get nothing.
That's right.
So we've
so
had...
So wait a minute. Wait a minute, John. You're frightening me just a little bit here.
Sorry.
Are you saying that somebody in a federal agency actually used reason and logic and used common sense to create a solution?
Be frightened. Be very frightened.
I'm afraid.
But never fear.
Let's find that person and clone them.
There was a lawsuit against the EEOC by the AARP, which put an injunction on these EEOC regulations and stopped them in their tracks. It didn't allow EEOC to finalize these regulations, which would have really helped employers and know that their early benefits for early retirees were okay and not going to be a problem when they drop them at 65. Well, we've had a series of court cases, major court cases, that have backed up the EEOC, basically ruling against the AARP. So we're waiting for the point. We're at the point now where unless the AARP were to appeal to the Supreme Court, then this case will be finally over with, and the EEOC can finally go ahead with these regulations that would help.
These common sense regulations.
Right. But it's it's great for a journalist because it's lots of news for me to write about.
Well, Joan, I have come to believe in the last couple of years that the AARP is really kind of a dangerous organization, especially me coming from a small business owner. The AARP was a significant player in the squashing of the small business health plans a year and a half ago.
That's true.
They along with Blue Cross Blue Shield were the key players in killing small business health plans, which could have been one of the best things that ever happened to this country. And one of the best pieces of public policy that could have happened to this country, and they killed it. And now you tell me that they look at this common sense approach to working with employers and employee and retiring employees, and they're filing a lawsuit on that. That's more evidence to me that AARP is not a friend to business and especially to small business.
Well, and what I can't figure out in this situation is that their position actually hurts a large segment of their members.
Yeah.
Any member that's under 65 that wants to retire early from a company, that this can't be good for them.
Well, I'm you know, old enough to be a member of AARP, Joan.
I'm not admitting that. Neither am I.
But I will say that I plan to never be a member of AARP, and I'm kind of glad to be able to say that on the air. Joan, let's move down quickly. One of the things we're going to talk about today is the Federal Reserve and the whole issue of the role, really, of the Federal Reserve Board, our national central bank, and really the most powerful central bank in the world, what their role is in the challenges that that our financial institutions have right now.
Right.
And we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, Joan and I are gonna wade into this because. And folks, the reason I wanted to bring, I'm glad we're bringing this up and we're going to dwell on this for just a little bit, is over the next few days, in fact, tomorrow, there's going to be a statement, a speech made by Bernanke, by Chairman Bernanke of the Fed, from their Jackson Hole meeting. And so the next few days, a lot's going to come be said about this. You're going to learn an awful lot about how the Fed feels about their role in the economic recovery. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Do it or die now, stand your ground. Don't let your bad brains go get
me. We're back, it's 17 till.
Even when times get
I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and Joan Pratt is our guest. And she's with the Kiplinger editor, senior editor over there in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And of course, folks, you know I like telling you about their website, kiplinger.com, and all the publications, the Kiplinger Letter, which is what Joan and I work off of every day, every week, I should say. The main flagship letter that they started back in 1923. And of course, they have the three biweekly letters that they've created since then, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, and the Agriculture Letter, which is devoted to some of my heroes, America's farmers. And of course, then they got a magazine. Joan, what's that all about?
You bet. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazines. On Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. Sorry, singular,
yeah.
But it's on newsstands now.
Yeah, and newsstands, and you can also subscribe. Go to the website, subscribe, ask for the 30-day free trial. And Joan, give us that website, too. I mean, the phone number in case somebody wants to call.
Oh, right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And tell them I sent you, folks, and when they and after they hang up, call them back, and don't say that again. And then they'll help you out there. Joan, the Federal Reserve, as I said as we went to the break, is in a little bit of a quandary because the Federal Reserve manages their business on a long-term basis. They don't look at the end of their nose. They look miles down the road, and their goal, their number one purpose in life, Robert Novak said, Republicans were put on earth to lower taxes, and
sounds like him.
The Federal Reserve was put on earth to hold inflation in check.
Right.
That's their primary role in life.
That's right.
But in order to do that, they've really got to look long term. But the economy, not only the national, but some global elements of the economy, has a short term problem with regard to the credit sector because
That's
of
right.
the subprime meltdown.
That's right.
And there's all kinds of pressure being brought to bear. People that I thought knew better are virtually demanding that the Fed cut the Fed funds rate. Not even wait till the meeting on, what is it, the 18th, I think it is, of September.
Right. September 18th.
Not even wait till then, but do it now, meaning we want you to take some short-term action to solve our problems that we've created, Fed. And we're demanding that you do this. And so Mr. Bernanke is going to have to deal with that, isn't he?
Mr. Bernanke's kind of walking a tightrope, and we're going to find out how he deals with it tomorrow, which, as you pointed out, he'll be making a major speech about this. Now, on the one hand, if he just ignores the problem or says, you know, we're not going to lower rates, we're just going to stick to what we're doing, the danger there is that, the danger there is creating a recession. On the other hand, if he moves too fast to meet these demands that you've talked about, then the market is going to get the signal that, well, the Fed's going to bail us out no matter
exactly.
what we do, and that's a terrible signal to send.
If this were another 9-1-1 type attack, if there were some kind of a health scare like a SARS or a bird flu or something catastrophic that nobody had control over, if there was something else that happened nobody had control over, I could see the Fed making some adjustments. But Joan, I'd like the economy to keep going, humming along. I don't want us to go into a recession, and I don't think we will anyway. I'm against the Fed making a knee-jerk reaction to help bail out a bunch of people who really made a lot of money on bad practices, which primarily was the subprime debt.
Right. Exactly.
I'm against that. I'll be very disappointed, because if he does, he'll set a precedent. Now, if you remember, Joan, in 98, in about this time, 9 years ago, we had the long-term capital situation.
I remember.
And I still don't know how ugly that could have gotten. Apparently, it could have gotten really ugly. Apparently, there were some stuff going on there that most people don't know about. Because, as you may remember, the Fed cut rates twice in September.
Wow.
Between the September meeting and the October meeting, the Fed cut rates twice, which was unheard of. And I hope they don't do that again with this new situation.
Yeah, I agree.
Some companies are going to have to fail. Some people are. I think I'm going to make a prediction, Joan. I'm going to predict that Mr. Bernanke is going to give the marketplace some tough love tomorrow.
I think you're right. I can't imagine that he's just going to cave in.
Well, they've already made some concessions, Joan. As you know, they've injected some liquidity into the marketplace. They lowered the discount rate.
Right.
And I think he's going to say, you know what, guys? And he's not going to say it this way, but essentially he's going to say, you know what, guys? I've already given you a little candy. You're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, Joan, that they're not going to lower rates on the 18th, because I do think that might happen, just not prior to a meeting. That would be the big deal.
Boy, it sure would.
He could get away with it on the 18th, couldn't he?
Yeah. I think he probably could.
And, Joan, do you know who predicted that the Fed would hold rates steady all year long until the third quarter of 07 and would cut rates in the third quarter of 07?
I can't imagine who that would have been.
Yes, you do. You know who did it.
I'll never admit it.
That would be your humble servant, Joan.
Oh, gee, here we go.
Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's exactly right.
Do you have
in
a clip of that prediction?
In my predictions.
Are you going to play it now?
You hee-hawed at me back in January, in the end of December, when I made that prediction. You hee-hawed at me because you said, how would you possibly? And I said, in the third quarter. And, folks, I stand by that prediction. I still believe that it will happen. And we'll find out in about three weeks. And hopefully that'll be on a Tuesday, and Joe will be here on Thursday. Quick break. She might not show up that week, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We got more to come with Joan Price. Stay with us.
And you will know I'm all meant to be. One fine day, you're gonna want me for your
girl. Oh, I was warned about her love.
Welcome back, 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. A little blues for you from my favorite blues man, Robert Cray. Joan Price is our guest. She's my favorite blues fan. You like blues, don't you, Joan?
Yes, I do.
And, Joan, one of the things that, and by the way, folks, Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And, Joan, just one last little vestige of what we were talking about earlier with the financial sector meltdown there. There have already been quite a few jobs lost over this, primarily in the direct mortgage, the direct mortgage placement in the retail end of mortgages. But their prediction is that there will be more jobs losses as a result of the subprime meltdown, the mortgage meltdown.
Right.
The housing market, as you know, is having a tough time right now. That there will be quite a few job losses, but you guys point out, I think very appropriately, I mean, this is like duh, that there won't be as many, this won't be anything close to like the internet bubble shakeout.
Yeah, that's interesting. You kind of forget past history. We say here that about 10% of financial sector jobs disappeared between 2001 and 2003 because of the telecom, meltdown, as it were.
Right.
That's a stunning amount if you think about it.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, a lot of folks.
So we say things are different now. We say financial firms are more global now. They've got more folks overseas. And so it won't be as much, I guess, of a concentrated thing as it was before. So I think it sounds like Wall Street's going to weather this storm a little bit better.
This is not a huge part of the marketplace, Joan.
Right.
I mean, it's the subprime mortgage thing is, I mean, it's a lot of dough. It's a lot of transactions, and the securitization of all these mortgages is what's gotten it so heavily into, you know, it tentacled into, sort of metastasized into the financial market. But Joan, this is not in terms of the overall economy, the national and global economy, this is not a big deal, I don't think.
Well, that's true,
And there are going to be some job losses, but you know what, Joan? Next year there will be another industry that will get in trouble, and there will be some job losses.
It's true. That's very Darwinian of you.
One of those things, Joan, which we didn't talk about yet, is the fact that one of the industries that's going to take a hit from all this is probably going to be the auto industry.
Well, that's probably true. Yes,
and you know,
we've talked about that. You know, the credit problems and the liquidity problems for individuals. You know, if they're having these problems, you know, if they're not able to pull money out of their homes to buy cars, yep, then there's going to be a lot fewer cars sold.
Exactly right, and of course, I think that's already happening with the zero interest rate that's being offered again with these car companies.
Right. We even say automakers will face tremendous strain next year. And it's possible that one of the big three might even throw in the towel by 2010, which is not that far off.
And that was one of the predictions I missed last year, Joan.
Oh.
I predicted it in 06, and the only reason why it didn't happen to Ford is because they borrowed like $129 trillion or something like this.
Yeah, they put themselves totally on. They put the business on the line for that money.
They had to mortgage factories that had been paid for decades.
Right.
In order to keep them going bankrupt. And they did that just to defy my prediction, Joan, by the way.
Sure.
Are merchants in trouble with credit card firms, Joan?
Well, there's security deadlines coming up for credit card firms. If they don't meet these security deadlines, they're going to get fined by the credit card companies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying the fines can be stiff. We're saying up to $25,000 a month by Visa. That's an awful lot.
But now you also point out that only merchants merchants processing fewer than 1 million transactions will get leniency. Is that me? So the small companies probably will get leniency on this security thing, right?
They will. I guess the point they're making here is that everyone's been getting leniency, and now they're getting tougher on larger firms,
right,
so that firms with fewer than 1 million transactions won't get the fines right away.
Right, right.
They'll
which
have
is
more
good news
time.
For small business,
yeah.
But folks, it's trickling down toward you. So if you start getting information about security with your credit card company, start paying attention. Joan, do you have a MySpace account?
No, what's that? I barely know what YouTube is.
You're a Luddite, aren't you, Joan?
Oh yeah.
Well, no, you're not. But I think you and I both are fast becoming Luddites in terms of the new era of technology and the social networking. But it's becoming a bigger deal for businesses, isn't it?
Apparently, if you need sales leads or new hires, and there's something called LinkedIn and has 13 million members. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. So people, if you're my age or Joan's age, find a young person to help you with
this.
Don't
be like us.
Find a young person to help you with this. That's what I've done, Joan. I hire young people so they can help me with this. Thanks, Joan, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.